Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey and Chad here, your host for the second weekend show of 2025. And this weekend show is going to be very much focused on investing in resource stocks. We're going to talk about juniors. We're going to talk mid-tiers. Going to lay out some of maybe the bigger picture themes for investors to take note of, wondering if this year is going to be as solid as it was last year, and if we could even see some of these stocks provide some leverage to the underlying metals prices, which do continue to be quite strong. Just as a note, please go back through our website, kereport.com, and podcast. Just search the KE Report in your podcast player to listen to our daily editorials from throughout the week and company updates. To kick off the show, we're chatting with Dave Erfley, founder and editor of the Junior Miner Junkie. Now, Dave, look, your newsletter very much focused on investing in the resource stocks and not the majors, the mid-tiers, the juniors. You do a lot of due diligence and you are quite selective in terms of the stocks that you follow and that you buy within your own portfolio. In terms of 2025 themes, one thing from 2024 really seemed to be a focus more on the larger stocks. The juniors, man, oh man, still a tough market for them. Do you see that environment changing for the juniors in 2025 where more investors take note?
Yeah, I do. You know, it's time for a reversion to the mean. And basically, the one key missing ingredient that's been absent in as far as the silver and the mining stocks not performing well at all compared to gold is Western investment demand. And the reason for that is they're still being distracted by, you know, making all this money in AI and in crypto. And what we're seeing, what we saw at the end of the year last year was, you know, first of all, we didn't get a Santa Claus rally, which harkens back to the old Wall Street adage, you know, if Santa Claus fails to call, bears will come to Broad Wall. And we now have the January effect. If we have a down January, that'll pretty much give us a reason to believe that we're finally going to have at least a 10, 15% correction in the stock market. And that's what this sector needs, right? It needs to start. We need to start seeing these people that have made so much money in AI and so much money in crypto start to rotate those gains into the horribly undervalued and ignored resource stock sector, especially the junior sector as far as gold and silver junior stocks are concerned, because I mean they're just underowned and ignored. And as far as the tax loss selling at the end of the year that happened again last year, I mean I just saw a lot of give up. I got emails from people just like, this is it, I'm throwing in the towel. You saw it in a lot of the charts. You saw it in a lot of the, especially in sentiment. I think gold stock participation is at like a 17-year low, despite the gold price making 40 separate all-time highs last year. So as far as selling is concerned, I just don't see that much selling left in the gold stock sector. And it's time for silver and the gold stocks to catch up, because if you take a look at silver and you take a look at gold stocks, their charts look almost identical and they're due for a catch up rally. And if you take a look at the GDX, GDXJ, you know, they ran up to strong 4-year resistance and they've built up this huge base. And I think now they're building a handle of a huge cup from the peak in 2020 to the peak of October of last year. And I think the handle's being built out now. But we need to see volume. We need to see, and that volume is going to pick up once, I believe, once we see some sector rotation. Because that's what we need. We just need interest. So we need people to come back into this sector. I mean, retail left over a decade ago, and they haven't returned. And it started with Newmont, right? I mean, you had at the beginning of October, Newmont came out with their Q3 results and really disappointed on costs. And that's what started the cascade, right? Because the miners peaked about 3 weeks ahead of the gold price for that reason. And that just took, I mean, that's the bellwether. That's what, if you're going to have retail participation come back into this sector, they're going to start with your Agnicos and your Newmonts and your Franco Nevadas. That's where they're going to start. And when you have the bellwether have disappoint the market that much, and you know the selling in Newmont is way overdone. I think the valuation here in Newmont is 11% below its net asset value. And if you take a look at Q4, the gold price averaged $2,660, which is $200 higher than Q3. So, you know, Newmont's not going to report until I think February 20th. So I think we're going to still see some more, because if you take a look at GDX, GDXJ and silver, they're forming these bullish wedges, falling wedges. And I think it's because if GDX and GDXJ became 4% within major support at 32 in GDX and at 40 in GDXJ, and that's major support because that's where they broke out when gold broke out of its cup and handle pattern at $2,100. So that's how undervalued these things are just recently to the gold price.
Well, Dave, when we talk about investors rotating possibly out of U.S. equities into the gold and silver equities, I wonder if 2025, and I ask this hesitantly, is going to be the year where valuations actually start to matter. Because when you look at a lot of U.S. equities, their valuations are at very extreme highs. And when you look at the gold and silver stocks, yes, Newmont definitely disappointed the expectations, but they still made a lot of money. And they've also divested about 4 or 5 big projects from their fold, and people expect their Q4 numbers to come in better than Q3. Now, people were jacked up with expectations for Q2 and Q3, and there were still a lot of companies that had problems. But at this point in time, as we start 2025, there's a lot of gold producers trading under their book value. There's a lot of gold producers and silver producers that are still making a lot of money. Q4 was probably still a very good quarter. We'll see the numbers in the next month or so, but could the Q4 numbers be the catalyst to get generalists to start looking at the sector from a valuation standpoint?
Yeah, I think so. And that's basically what I was leading up to, because like I said, the gold price averaged $200 higher, and inflation, although it's still sticky and hanging around, you know, and that's another reason, you know, the bond market is basically calling bullshit on the Federal Reserve. You know, they're lowering rates and they've all obviously caved on inflation, and the 10-year's gone up 1% while they have cut 1%. So the bond market's saying, you know, I'm sorry, but inflation's going to be hanging around a while. And, you know, and this week we got jobs numbers coming out, and, you know, the Fed now is in the market's pricing in like a, I think it's like an 85% chance that the Fed's going to hold again next week. But, you know, as far as that's concerned, I mean, the Fed's stuck between a rock and a hard place. And now on the day that Trump was confirmed, Trudeau has stepped down. So the Canadian government is in upheaval. So all this is going on, and they're expecting that the Trump's tariffs and his policies are going to be inflationary, stagflationary, I believe. So I think Trump's sleepwalking into a stagflationary recession. I mean, you had an inverted yield curve for 2 years, and now it's starting to reinvert. And when the yield curve starts to reinvert, that's when recession starts. That's historically what's happened. So the gold price is looking at all this, and at the same time, it's consolidating in this now 10-week bullish symmetrical triangle, with strong support at 2,600 and strong resistance at 2,750. And, you know, it went up 54% without even a 5% correction in a year. So this is just bullish, healthy consolidation, high consolidation before it starts its next up leg. And the gold stocks are just sitting and waiting to be revalued. And I think the mean reversion is going to start happening pretty soon. I think a trigger will be a very good Q4, starting off with Newmont, because what, last year you had Newmont have that really bad quarter, and that was followed by Barrick having a really bad quarter, and that's 20% of the GDX. So that really hit the GDX hard, and that's what made the GDX start to underperform even the GDXJ. So these things are just sitting there waiting for a reversion to the mean, and waiting for, you know, retail to finally come back into this space after leaving over a decade ago.
Yeah, it was Q3 earnings season when everyone was getting excited about the numbers that could come out that actually marked a top in a lot of these stocks, unfortunately. But so, Dave, one other aspect of this sector that we saw a lot of in 2024, even in 2023, was a lot of M&A. We saw large companies go after larger, already developed assets. We saw a lot of small companies merge, which is a good thing, I think. But again, a lot of the takeovers really weren't celebrated and there weren't any bidding wars. Does that change at all in 2025 in your eyes on simply the M&A front?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, a lot of the M&A at the end of the year last year were take-unders. And that really doesn't excite the sector very much when, you know, you have these long-suffering shareholders that really don't make money when a company is taken over. So we need to have takeovers again, you know, with nice premiums where most everybody makes money. That's what we need to see. And I think we are going to see it this year, especially, you know, when the gold price breaks out of this symmetrical triangle, because these symmetrical triangles, you know, they usually break out in the direction of the trend, and the trend is definitely up for the gold price. I mean, after it broke out of a 13-year cup and handle above 2100, I mean, it's only moved up 35%. That's not very much at all from a major cup and handle base. So this is just a pause, and the gold price needs to get back over 2750 first thing. And I think that the next target is at the symmetrical breakout target is 3000. That'll really get the juices flowing in the mining sector, and I think that'll kick off more M&A.
Well, Dave, in your own portfolio, you often look for companies that you think would be good takeover candidates for the larger producers. And our friend Rick Rule has famously said many times, you don't want to buy the sector, meaning GDX. You want to cherry pick the sector, meaning looking for those special stories that have the potential to outperform. In your own portfolio, when you talk to subscribers of the Junior Miner Junkie, how do you look for those high-performance companies? What kind of ingredients do you look for to become the next takeover targets?
Yes, I mean, you basically want to create your own GDXJ, because the GDXJ really isn't a junior index, is it? It's a mid-tier index. So you basically want to create your own, and I've done that with 20 positions. And in my top 10, there's three that are now fully financed to construction. And I like the companies that are late stage, that have a lot of ounces in the ground, that have competent management teams. They raise money at the right times. They didn't over dilute. So my portfolio is chock full of companies like this. And I just added another one this week. That's another thing that this tax loss selling at the end of the year and people throwing in the towel did, was it basically brought to my attention a lot of these companies on my watch list, one in particular, where a serially successful company builder, mining entrepreneur, has been accumulating stock in this company, and it closed the year 35% below his cost. So I told my subscribers, you know, it's rare that you're able to buy a stock in the open market that was accumulated at a much higher price by these serially successful entrepreneurs and mine builders. You know, they've done it over and over again, made all this money for themselves and shareholders. And this happened about 3 years ago to another company of mine, to another company that I recommended to my subscribers. I said the same thing, like Ross Beaty got into this thing a lot higher than we can get into it now in the open market. And the stock tripled in a few years. So I expect the same thing to happen with this one, at least within the next year or two. So this is what happens when you get everybody throwing in the towel on these stocks, especially during tax loss selling season at the end of the year, when there's total disregard for net asset value, for what they have in the ground, for what they've done in the past for subscribers. People just want to get out at any price and offset their gains in something that they've made, or they just want to get out, period, because they're so frustrated and they've just had enough of this sector. I witnessed a lot of that in December.
Now, Dave, one thing that actually you and I talked about at the tail end of summer when we were at Beaver Creek, and it's something I want to revisit too, because as much as you're the junior miner junkie, I've noticed even in your portfolio more of a pivot away from the true juniors. I guess with the whole sector selling off or the lack of interest in there, is that going down to the true juniors, the true exploration plays, those haven't worked, but you can also get these companies that have better work or better assets already proven for also cheaper prices. Now, that whole concept that we talked about at Beaver Creek was, I was making the argument, we should just be focusing on these stocks that are already outperforming the market because they're drawing in the capital and they have more than powder to go make something happen. Does that change at all this year? Or again, should we just be looking for what truly aren't necessarily the juniors out there? They are the companies that have capital already and have already in a way outperformed the market.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you still got to concentrate on until the market proves otherwise. And it's really not close to doing that, but I can see here. You know, there's still a lot of these companies that are, you know, having a hard time raising money. And then when they do finally raise money, they don't raise enough to have a significant drill program, a meaningful drill program. So, you know, even if they do hit something, you know, the market knows, the smart money knows that, hey, look, they've hit something. It looks really good, but look, they're out of money and they're going to need to raise money. So let's short the stock or let's sell the stock and we'll get it cheaper later, you know, on a finance and we'll get a free warrant. So that is still happening. And that is not going to change until retail comes back into this. I've said it before, I've called it dumb money. The dumb money is not there to bail you out. Meaning, you know, if you know, a less learned speculator sees really good drill results, they're going to buy that. And other speculators are going to buy that and bid the stock up based on the results. We're really not seeing that yet. You know, sure, you're seeing it in a couple of companies like your Snowlines and your Newfound Gold earlier, but now Newfound Gold is sold off right back down to where it began. So, you know, it doesn't really make any sense to take the chance on these early stage drill plays yet. But I think we'll know when that changes. And I think that's going to change when you see a breakout in the TSX venture of something really interesting happened at the end of the year. One of the best performers on the last week of the year where there was low trading volume was the venture. It had this huge spike up on the day of tax loss because that's when people buy, right? They know that this is the last day of tax loss selling and this is when to buy. And the venture bolted right up towards 640. And that's a really strong 2-year neckline of an inverse head and shoulders bottom that needs to break out. And once it breaks out above 640 and you start to see some volume, it could really move. And that's when you'll know that, hey, it's time to start getting into some of these earlier stage companies.
Well, Dave, if investors for now stick with the more established companies that at least have ounces defined in the ground, maybe some economic studies in place, how do you avoid the pitfall of getting into a developer that's in that orphan phase that doesn't have any momentum? What kind of news flow are you looking for or catalyst for this year when you're positioned in the company to make sure that it still not only participates with the metal price, but also has some legitimate catalyst as a company?
Yeah, well, you just have to have a lot of patience. You need to get on the phone with them and say, what are your catalysts? What's upcoming? Are you going to have a feasibility study? Are you going to have some drill results you're expecting to be really good? Or make sure that those catalysts are something that's going to move that stock. But, you know, the company that I just recommended to my subscribers, it hasn't even really shown that it's forming a technical bottom yet. But the valuation is so cheap. And like I said, you could get it for so much cheaper than what this company builder who's trying to build a mid-tier producer has accumulated shares at, that I don't mind buying it here and just waiting and having the patience for the retail to come back into this sector and for, you know, there's these catalysts that they got on the horizon possibly sparking that and bringing more investors into the stock, because the stock is ridiculously cheap. They have a couple of fantastic projects. And it's just, you just have to have patience and, you know, you buy a half position, three quarter position, whatever, and then hope that it doesn't bottom. You want it to go lower so you can complete your position. But if it does bottom right after you purchase it and it starts to take off, you're okay because you got a nice position already.
All right, Dave, we'll wrap it up here. Look, a lot to consider as we are now in 2025. And the fact of the matter is, it's not a bad environment for the resource stocks. I know that not everything is moving higher and a lot of these juniors continue to struggle, but metals prices are generally higher And these companies, the majors, are generating some good cash flow. So it's one of those, I guess, again, waiting, but I'm sure a number of investors are tired of hearing that you just need to wait in these stocks longer. As a number of them still, unfortunately, continue to drift lower. It was just a rough end to the year. Still an overly, I think, good year for a lot of these stocks. And now 2025 seems like it should be setting up okay. But again, so many things can change over a year. Again, Dave Erfle, founder and editor of the Junior Miner Junkie. Dave, it's always a pleasure having you on the show. Everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back to wrap up the weekend edition.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.